Alright, welcome to the first edition of the Fantasy A-League podcast, brought to you by Supercoach HQ. I'm joined by our resident expert, Justin, here, who I'll just give you a little background on. Justin finished fourth last year in the competition and won it the year before, so it's a pleasure to have you on, Justin.
Thanks for having me, man.
Alright, so let's get straight into the pre-season results, if we can draw anything from those. Why don't we start with Adelaide United, who had 8 wins from 10 matches over the pre-season?
Yeah, Adelaide have looked pretty impressive. As everyone probably knows from all the media reports, we're going to be playing a new style of game in Adelaide. It's going to be modelled on Barcelona, high possession, which will hopefully translate into a lot of goals. So maybe that's a big interest to fantasy managers.
Yep. I've got here that Geronimo was pretty prolific during the pre-season.
Yeah, he's done pretty well against the State League sides. He got a hat-trick against Cumberland, 2 against Croydon, and another double against Burkalla. He also scored against the Comets. But then, probably more importantly, he also scored against the Victory in their last pre-season game. Yep. And I don't know if people know, he actually copped a bad injury in one of our other... sorry, it was actually a training session, I think. But okay. We were worried that he wasn't going to be ready to go. But no, he played against Victory, scored a goal, so he looks good.
Okay. What else can you take from Adelaide, being a Red supporter yourself?
Yeah, well, Adelaide is one of the 2 teams that I've seen. I got down to Hindmarsh for the game against the Mariners, and basically what I could draw from that performance was Adelaide are going to play a system similar to what you saw Melbourne Victory play last season, which is the false nine system where the striker yep. sits a little bit deeper and tries to play in the wingers in behind the defence. So normally in fantasy you wouldn't be picking wingers as strikers, as your attackers. Yeah. But with Adelaide and also with Melbourne Victory, we'll get to later, wingers might be a decent proposition, like Geronimo, who we think is going to play on a wing to start off the mm-hmm. season. And also Thirio, one of the new signings, he might start off on a wing as well, but he can play anywhere across the front 3. So he's a pretty handy player, and he likes to score okay. goals as well. So,
yeah, very good. And so of the new recruits, who's impressed you the most?
Well, I haven't really had much of a look at them. Sirio didn't really get to do a lot in that game because he was playing as that false nine, so he was just trying to play in the wingers for most of it. But, you know, if you go on YouTube, there's a clip of him just, you know, scoring goals from everywhere for his club in Spain. So, and apparently he scored a blinder against the Wanderers. So, yep. you know, I think he's got that capacity to be an absolute standout in this league. Isaias, who's another signing, I think he will do really well, but I don't think he's going to be much use to fantasy managers because he's sure. more of a player that just keeps the ball ticking over and he goes and wins the ball and does all the hard work so that, you know, the other players can capitalise. Yep. And then we've got Steve Lustica coming in from Brisbane Roar. He looks like he's going to play a little bit further up the pitch than he did for Brisbane, so he'll probably score a little higher. He's pretty cheap. But one thing I did notice in that game against the Mariners, there was a lot of interchange in our midfield, so he'll be doing a bit of the dirty work as well. So he probably won't be a huge scorer, but he'll be solid.
Okay, he is reasonably priced at about 200,000, I think.
No, I think he's a little. I think he's 175.
Okay, yeah. Great. Okay, if we move on to the Raw, who were a little disappointing last season overall. But they've had a good preseason as well.
Yeah, they've absolutely ripped it. They've won 9 on the trot. Their only loss was in their first game against Lions FC. So, and in that, they've belted 2 state league sides, 11-0 and 11-1, including the champions. And yep. they've beaten the Heart, the Mariners, the Victory, and they've flogged Sydney FC. So they're looking very impressive early on.
Okay. And everyone's... everyone's favourite striker from up north, Berisha. He's been scoring a few.
Yeah, I mean, everyone loves him, obviously, but I tell you, we fantasy managers, we get it because he will just destroy the league again, I think. He looks ready to go, and, you know, he's a brilliant competitor, so.
May even be a captaincy option later, which we'll touch on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, on to Central Coast, who you also saw.
Yep.
What have you taken from there, pre-season?
Well, some of the results have been, you know, a little un-Central Coast-like, but overall, I think they look pretty solid. When I saw them, they were struggling a little bit without the ball because Adelaide were holding onto it for a lot of the game, but unfortunately couldn't do much with it. But they looked pretty much similar to what we saw from them last year, playing 4-2-3-1. Flores is going to slot into the role that Tommy Rogic started off with last season, and then McGlinchey took over from him. McGlinchey's probably going to move out to a wing this season.
Okay. Very interesting. And because Flores struggled a little bit at the Victory, he didn't have the same impact as at Adelaide.
Yeah, I think the problem there was Ange Postecoglou had a system that he wanted to play, and Flores had to try and fit into that system. Whereas at Adelaide, all of the play came through him, and he was pretty much given a free role to do what he wanted. Yep. And from what I saw against the Mariners, it's going to be pretty much the same. He's going to be that creative player in midfield. He pretty much he covered a lot of ground. He was everywhere. He didn't look great, and he admitted on Twitter later he had a pretty ordinary game. But since then, he scored two goals against Persib Bandung, who I think are an Indonesian side, but he also got sent off. And then he scored in the final of that tournament against Araman Belang, which was a controversial loss for the Mariners. But, yeah, he looks, well, from what I saw, he didn't look too good. But since then, you know, he's scored three goals, so, you know, maybe he's back.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see how he scores.
Yeah, I think he's definitely someone fantasy coaches will want to monitor based on what he did at Adelaide. And, you know, I was very lucky to see firsthand. He's a fantastic player when, you know, when he's on song, and he will score points.
Okay. As we move down alphabetically, it's onto the Heart, who everyone's been talking about Kuehl, but is he really going to be the saviour?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, Melbourne Heart, they were very unimpressive last season. I know you're a Heart man, so...
I can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to go this year. I think surely Harry Kuehl is going to, like, if they're going to be good, Harry Kuehl is going to be a key part of that. Man, he's overpriced in fantasy, though. I mean, this he didn't set the world on fire at Victory. I think he only averaged like 4 points a game. So I don't know where they pulled that price from, considering he hasn't played much football either lately.
He's certainly the flavour of the month, and he'll suck a lot of coaches in, I reckon, but I'm definitely going to be standing off for now.
Yeah, I think, you know, unless, you know, by some miracle he's, you know, scoring for fun, which I don't really see it at this point. I think he can be okay, but I don't think he can be a 350K player.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, I do wonder how the Heart are going to go, and last season they just sucked at fantasy football, so I don't know if there's going to be too much value there, to be honest.
Okay, sure. All right, and on to the Victory, who many are tipping for the overall title.
Yeah, I think Melbourne impressed a lot of people the way they went about it last season. This season, they should be around the mark again, I think. They've lost a few players, but crucially they've held on to Milligan, who's absolutely their key player. He just bosses the midfield for them, and he's good for a goal every now and then as well. And they really miss him when he's not there. And you'll see that, I think, maybe against Hart this week.
Okay. And he's their captain as well?
Sorry?
Has he been appointed as their captain as well?
Yes, he has. He's taking it off Leia, who's copped a lot of criticism over his performances. But I think Andy's going to stick with him, at least in defence. So.
Okay. And I think the Victory will have a fair few fantasy-relevant players, if you agree.
Yeah, pretty much any Victory forward or midfield attacking midfielder is going to be on fantasy coaches' radars. Costa Barbarousis has come back. He's going to fill the role left by Rojas, who absolutely destroyed the league last season.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be quite as prolific as Rojas in a fantasy perspective because, let's not forget, Rojas was a midfielder. Barbarousis is listed as a forward. And he's pretty expensive as well at $275,000. So I don't know too many coaches that will have him, not to start with, because he'll be missing this week.
Yeah, he may come down in price a bit, and then it'll become a bit more attractive. But
perhaps, yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, you've got Connor Payne as well, who might... I think he'll start in Barbarossa's place, but I'm not too sure about after that. But he's a gun player, and if he's starting, yeah, I think he's well worth jumping onto at $200,000, I think.
Okay, even Mitch Nichols, I think, I like the look of.
Yeah, Mitch had the season from hell last year at Brisbane, but now he's reunited with Ange. He'll be playing an attacking role in that midfield, and I think he's looking pretty good to rediscover himself, and that means points for fantasy coaches. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now we move on to the Heskey-less Jets for the first month, at least.
Yeah, they've...
How are they going to fare this year?
They're a bit of an enigma, really, the Jets. Gary Van Egmond's a very hard coach for fantasy managers to read because he just moves his players around so much, and, you know, he's a bit like a certain AFL coach that does it to fantasy managers as well. But, I mean, obviously there's a few options there. Jets is there another... The team, though, that didn't really set the world on fire last season, and their top scorer is gone. Ryan Griffiths has moved on.
Yeah.
But they've replaced him with Nathan Burns, who looks very tasty, being a midfielder who could possibly lead the line in Heskey's absence.
Okay.
James Virgili, a young winger, has looked pretty impressive in pre-season. He scored quite a few goals, including against Sydney in the victory. So he might be a short-term option to start off with, and of course Craig Goodwin, you know, he's an absolute star. Assuming Van Egmond plays him on a wing, he's someone you want to seriously consider because he's listed as a defender, so you're getting some serious out of position points, you know, 6 points for a goal for a defender
if he
plays there. So
very, very attractive. All right, and now the Glory, who have also had quite a good preseason results wise.
Yeah, well, they've only lost 3 games, and that was right at the start when they travelled to South Africa. Since then, they've won 8 and drawn 1. They've knocked off Sydney and the Heart, and they drew with the Heart. And they've had some, you know, reasonably good results against the State League sides as well. So, but I think the thing about Perth is they've got a lot of young players coming through, and they've got a coach that we saw last season, Ali Edwards, reinvigorated that side, pulled them off the bottom, and they were a bit stiff to miss out against Victory, you know, if Shane Smeltz had converted the penalty. So, yeah, I think they're a very exciting team, and they're going to be exciting for fantasy managers as well.
Okay, very good. Any particular that are catching your eye? I think McLaren's been going to be very popular at forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the salary cap being so restrictive this year, you know, you're looking for any value you can find. And with Shane Smeltz out early in the season, it looks like a young forward by the name of McLaren is going to lead the line for Perth. And he's been scoring a few goals in pre-season. He got 2 against Sydney and he scored against the Heart. So he's done it against A-League sides. So I think he'll be a very popular pick to start off with. And Ryan Edwards, the son of the coach, looks to be filling the playmaker role at the start of the season. So, you know, at $100,000, you can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah, even bench if he's not scoring that well.
Yeah. Perth, on paper, have what looks to be a good run. I mean, obviously, it might not turn out that way, but he could score a lot of points early, maybe go up a little bit in value, and then you can either trade him out to cash in or just shove him on the bench as, you know, a go-to guy if you've got injuries.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And as you touched in one of the comments on the website, that it's important to have playing depth on the bench rather than just fill up with cheapies who aren't going to play.
Yeah, well, I think it's a very easy trap to fall into because coaches, they'll look at the prices and they'll think, how am I going to fit in as many guns as possible? And, you know, it'll give you a lot of scoring power on the field, but as we've seen in the A-League, players cop injuries, players cop suspensions, you know, you've only got four players to cover that. So if you cop two suspensions or an injury in a week, you'll have no cover, you'll have to make a trade, and then what are you going to do with the other one? Are you going to buy another trade with 3 points or, yeah. You know, so it's a bit of a conundrum for coaches. And the other side of it is, what happens if you've got a player that gets injured in the warm-up and pulls out, and then you've got no cover on the bench? So
they're the coach killers, aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, coaches in the A-League are very canny. They don't give anything away. So, you know, they might say, oh, you know, Nagai is going to play this week, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you get to 90 minutes before kickoff, lockout's gone, and boom, he's not there. So...
Okay, moving on to the Sky Blues, Sydney FC, and they had some mixed results against the Italian sides, and it's been a pretty underwhelming pre-season so far.
Yeah, well, they went to Italy, obviously, supported by Del Piero's fame. They looked like they were doing pretty well. They narrowly lost to Padova, and then they beat the Udinese youth team comfortably, and then a couple more wins. So they got three on a row. And then after that, it's all fallen apart. They've had one draw since then and lost the rest. So they're looking very poor. And there's that article by Kate Cohen of Leopold Method that's been doing the rounds, and you linked in one of your articles that basically has shown they're not playing great football either. They look lost when they've got the ball, and it's not good signs for Sydney FC.
Okay, last season, as we know, was very disappointing. But do any fantasy players in particular take your fancy from Sydney?
Well, I think ADP, Del Piero, is always going to be scoring goals. You know, Sydney might get belted 5-1 every week, but he'll get the one. You know, he can score from anywhere, he can create. Yeah. So, you know, he's the ultimate player, and that's why he's got the biggest price tag. So... if you can fit him in, you know, he's a viable captaincy option every week, no matter who Sydney are playing. But apart from that, at the moment, I'm going to say stay away from Sydney players. And if you look at the lineup for round one, you'll notice that when it comes out that there's going to be a heap of Sydney players that are injured. There's a couple that's away with the youth team in Vietnam. Yuro Yao, who someone asked me about today, I just found out is with the Panama team, so he won't be there either.
Yep.
So yeah, Brett Emerton today apparently is out with a back injury. It's not confirmed yet, but he's not looking good. Bowich and Carl are both under injury clouds, so even though they'll probably play, they're not going to be 100%. So yeah, it's looking very bad for Sydney to start off with.
You'd be a brave coach to fill your side with the Sydney boys.
At this stage, absolutely.
Anyway, okay, on to the Phoenix and the Kiwis. They've shaped up all right. They just need to keep their players on the park, I reckon.
Yeah, they're looking solid based on pre-season. I don't think they're going to set the world on fire this year. I think a win for them would be not finishing bottom. Merrick has basically indicated that, you know, it's going to take a little while, because he came out and said, well, in the first season at Victory, I finished seventh, and then the next year we won the title. And so he's maybe alluding that it's going to be the same for Wellington. They've brought in some young players, someone like Reece Kyra, who is looking to start on the left-back position.
Yep.
He's a very good option for fantasy coaches. And they've brought back Carlos Hernandez, obviously. We don't know how he's going to go. Apparently he's lost a bit of weight, and, you know, the hunger's there, but, you know, it's been a while since we've seen him play. So I think with Carlos, I'd recommend, unless you really, really want to have a punt, just hold off for now and see how he goes.
Yep.
Cunningham.
He's not cheap either, is he?
No, he's not. I think he was $300,000 or something, so... yeah, they're not making it easy for us this year.
Very good. And finally, we have the red and black from the west of Sydney, the Wanderers, who have played pretty well this pre-season from all reports.
Yeah. You take that loss against the Victory where they got smashed 3-0 out of it, and they've looked okay. play. They've been all over the place. They went to Japan and China, I think. They've only played twice against A-League sides, so they've lost that game against Victory, and they drew 1-1 against Adelaide, thanks to an own goal. But I think they'll be strong again. They look like they've recruited well. They've got a couple of forwards in Tommy Urich and Brenton Sanderlab who are going to score goals, which is something they were kind of lacking up front last season. And Sanderlab, for people that remember him from his Sydney FC days, he's advanced a fair bit since then while playing in China. So he'll be much more of a goal threat.
Yep. And also last year, Western Sydney defenders were safe bets for big points. Do you reckon that's going to happen again this year?
I think it'll be tougher for Western Sydney to keep clean sheets. So I just think that there are a lot more teams that are going to play attacking football this year. So, they're going to come under a lot more pressure. And also, there's a possibility that they might change their game a little bit because they've brought in Sporanovic, who is very different from Topor Stanley and their other defenders. Mm-hmm. And he's very good on the ball. So whether they're going to play him in midfield maybe as someone who can distribute the ball, or if they're going to try and play out from the back now a bit more than they did last season, that's something to watch. But I'm pretty confident Western Sydney are going to be good again. So, definitely consider their players.
As we move on towards the round one fixtures and having a look at some captain selections, we start off with Sydney FC against the Jets, which is going to be broadcast around the country on free-to-air television. Is there much to look for here as far as captaincy goes?
Well, as I said in the Sydney preview, Del Piero is always a captaincy option.
Yeah.
Apart from that, though, you're going to be looking at Jets players because I think it's probably going to end in the Jets' favour comfortably. At least it looks that way on paper. So you'd be looking at Goodwin, who's maybe a little bit of a risky captaincy option because we don't know what Gary Van Egmond's going to do with him. But if he plays left wing, then absolutely. Burns, I think, could be a captaincy option because regardless of where he plays, he's going to create and score. And Vigili, maybe, on the basis of his preseason. But I'm not really comfortable with all of them. Those are just options from that game, but I think there are better options elsewhere.
Okay. And some of those might come from the grand final rematch, Central Coast play the Wanderers.
Yeah, I'm expecting probably a tight game in this one. The Mariners are missing McGlinchey, who's with the All Whites, and McBreen, who's still in China on loan. So those are two pretty significant losses for them. Last season we saw, three relatively tight games. So I'm thinking this will be pretty close again, so maybe a draw or, a slight win.
Okay.
I'm thinking for captaincies, Matt Simon, in pre-season again, he's been scoring goals. He's the same player he was when he left the Mariners and he was crucial to them then. So he's always a chance to score a goal. Flores, maybe a little bit of a gamble, but if he's back to his best, who knows, he could be the one to unlock the Wanderers' defence in this game and score a couple of goals. On the other side of the coin, Hersey, he's so crucial to the Wanderers. They've never won without him, so he's always a chance for goals. Maybe also a chance for a red card. But and then Bridge was pretty reliable last season, so maybe again.
Yeah, he'll be in a lot of teams, I would say.
Yeah, I think he'd be a popular pick because I don't see him falling off by any means. So yeah.
Okay, very good. The next match also on Saturday is the Melbourne Derby. Between the Victory and the Heart, you'd be guessing that the Victory will win this one pretty comfortably.
Well, you'd think, but I mean, last season all of the games finished 2-1. If Melbourne Heart show up, it's generally against the Victory, so I think this will be, it'll be tight. And the Victory are missing Milligan and Barbarossa, two key players for them. Although, mind, Hart will be without Misswood, who's off to Malta to play for them, and McAllister's injured. So they'll be going with Mabratu up front, I think.
Yep.
As far as captaincy options goes, there'll be goals in this game. So any Melbourne Victory attacker, Troisi, who we didn't mention, is probably a decent option. And Archie, you know how Archie loves a big game, so he's always a chance. Connor Payne could be a good, roughie as your captain. Mm-hmm. Mitch Nichols, Harry Kuehl, if you're up for the gamble, this is the game to make him captain because he'll be wanting to make a point. And Williams generally plays well against the Victory, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, and next is the Phoenix against the Roar. And I'm sure the Phoenix will be keen to make a point.
Yeah, they will. The only problem for them is they're going to be missing all of their New Zealand players. So that's Glenn Moss, Durante, Bertos, Brocky, all gone. Brisbane will be missing Matt McKay with the Socceroos. But, yeah, I mean, the way Brisbane are going about it in pre-season, I'd be pretty shocked with anything other than a Brisbane win here. Not saying it can't happen. Definitely can happen. But, yeah, you generally want to go with the obvious in fantasy.
Okay. Great. And,
I mean, you're going to get three clear fantasy captain options from Brisbane in Berisha, absolute superstar striker. Broich, creative genius in midfield for them. Maybe playing on a wing, either way he's going to score. And Franjic, who I think, he's an out-of-position player who's probably going to play right wing. And in a game like this, you're looking at potentially a clean sheet to go along with any assists and goals. So,
certainly.
Yeah.
And, coming up against last year's Wooden Spooners, you'd have to say that Brisbane are probably the safest bet of the round?
I think so, but, I mean, I was having a look at some of the odds. I don't gamble, but I like to check out the odds when I'm...
Sure.
Analysing things, and I think Wellington were very comfortable favourites, and Brisbane were something like $4. So, and it's the same for the Jets against Sydney, so I'm not sure what the bookies are thinking.
Very interesting. The last game of the week one is Adelaide United against Perth Glory. What do you see transpiring here?
Oh, this is going to be a very interesting game, and not just because I'm keen to get down to Hindmarsh and see my team play finally. You're going to have two teams that are going to play positive football. They're going to try and keep the ball, and they're going to try and score goals. So it could be a very entertaining game for neutrals and fans of both sides. And as a result, you're looking at some decent fantasy scoring options in this game. For Adelaide, if you've been able to fit him into your team, Marcelo Carusca is going to be our main playmaker this season. He's going to take over Dario's role. So you're going to be looking through, all the play pretty much when it's central coming through him. So he's going to score goals. He's going to set people up. He took a penalty in pre-season, so maybe he's on spot kick duties as well. So, very tempting.
Yeah, that's another thing to look out for, isn't it? Who takes the spot kicks?
Yeah, it's probably, not going to be as clear as someone I think. I'm still... wondering about a few teams. So it's something to just monitor as we go through the season. But, with Sydney, Del Piero, is going to take the penalties and the free kicks, and Bruce is going to take the spot kicks for Brisbane. But, it's something we need to monitor as fantasy coaches and, because we can pick up a few extra points using that knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Was there anything else that you wanted to add in there? We've covered quite a lot.
Maybe a couple more captaincy options for Adelaide and Perth.
Sure.
I think Geronimo and Thirio, the two Adelaide wingers, are probably going to be, decent chances for a goal against Perth. And for Perth, probably McLaren. He's been in good form, and the kid will want to make his impact. So, I think those are all potential options, but... I think if you want a sure thing for captain, then maybe look at the Brisbane game.
Okay. So you're predicting goals at Hindmarsh on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be close. I don't see either side running away with it. And it might be a little tentative at times with both teams trying to hold onto the ball, but you know, ultimately both teams are going to go out and try and win the game, so there should be goals.
Very good. Okay. Was there anything else that you wanted to add in there?
Not really. I've got an article that'll be coming out in the next couple of days that'll pretty much go through what we've said here again and, you know, add a few little bits and pieces.
Yep.
That fantasy coaches might want to take on board and consider. And I'll try and do that every week. And as the season goes on, hopefully I'll have, you know, more data to put in these articles to make more informed decisions. So, yeah, hopefully people can take a lot out of them.
Okay, great. And we just remind all our listeners to join up to the Classic League that we've got set up. All the details are on our Twitter page and our website. All right, thanks for joining us today, and good luck for round one and ultimately the whole season.